Davin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than the people you work for. Bing, big, meanie, poo-poos.
Aw.
Yeah. Aw.
Boo.
I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. Awing and booing is Pip Helix. Hi, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
On the phone, taking Pip's role as phone jockey, Joe Curry.
Hello.
Hello, Joe. All right. On the show, the media, the president, the truth, the leaks, the anonymous sources. Also, a couple refuses to remove the racist graffiti that was painted on their garage. A new school fools and another big tech security breach could put you all in danger. But I want to get right into it tonight. This past week, Congress went home to meet with the people. That's what they do. Congress takes weeks off. They can do that. Congress. And during these weeks off, you're supposed to get in touch with your folks, your constituents. They have some town halls.
You're right.
The folks tell you what they think. It doesn't work out that way, apparently. But that's what you're supposed to do, because as the congressperson, you're supposed to be able to tell the folks, hey, this is what I'm seeing in D.C. This is why I'm voting this way. This is why I'm arguing this way. And the people give the feedback, yay or nay. You go, hey, we really like you. Thanks for representing us. You could be doing a better job. We're not so happy.
And here's our scorecard.
Right. But here's what you got to remember. Congress works for us.
Yes.
We put them there, for better or for worse. They vote for us. It's not the other way around. So the Republican Congress got a little bit of a rude awakening. They went back to their districts, and they were met with very high turnouts in their town halls.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people were angry.
Not friendly little, you know, poorly visited town halls.
No, well attended, a lot of anger. People were concerned whether it be with Donald Trump or the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. That was a lot of
that
it.
That was a huge one.
The emotions were high. And we've seen this type of mobilization of people before.
Sure.
I want to take you back in time. Time long time ago. It was the summer of 2009. And we saw a little group called the Tea Party.
Oh, dear God.
Take shape. All of a sudden, there was a lot of anger and passion at the town hall meetings when the Democrats went home.
Right.
Now, in 2009, the party being confronted with the hostile town halls had just come off elections that saw a presidential victory, a congressional victory, and a senatorial victory. They had it all.
Right.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does.
Wind at your back.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going well. What could possibly go wrong? So the Democrats went home to this, and they were greeted with a lot of anger.
Yeah.
And now, in both cases, in 2009 and 2017, we're seeing the dismissing of this. The Democrats said, no, this is an anomaly. This is organized by the Koch brothers. This isn't real.
Right.
These people aren't really angry. Don't worry about that. Pay no attention to these angry town halls and the people protesting us when we show up. They love us!
Or worse, dismissing them as kooks.
Yes. And now we're seeing the same thing play out by a lot of the Republicans. A lot of the Republicans say, oh, no, it's put up by George Soros. It's organized. It's not an anomaly. We're doing great. People love us. They're dismissing it. I want to take you back in history, Republicans. You can learn from this. The Democrats dismissed it. In 2010, they got shellacked.
Mm-hmm.
They got shellacked in the congressional, in the midterm elections. Honestly, that shellacking, if you look at local elections and national elections, carry through to 2016.
Yes.
With the exception of President Obama, Democrats have been getting their butts kicked.
Yes.
Because they didn't comprehend.
They didn't take seriously.
They didn't take seriously what was going on
mm-hmm.
in their own districts, in their own homes. They didn't understand. They thought they were beloved because they live in the little bubble. And now we see the Republicans doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So I caution the Republicans. Pay attention. This isn't just organized by George Soros or other groups paying these people. I know people who have never protested before that have protested over the past month.
Yes, me too.
People are angry. People are scared. You got to deal with it or you're going to lose your job.
Right.
That's just the reality of it all. Now, we saw a lot of these town hall meetings, and a lot of times when the congressmen would show up, a lot of times they were booed.
Right.
They were chanted at.
Mm-hmm.
They were yelled at.
Right.
Not ideal. Not really a great exchange of ideas.
No.
I mean, I get the fact that you want to convey your anger.
Yeah. You want to express that.
Yes.
And you're there to exchange ideas, though.
Yes. Now, the Republican congressman who I have a lot of respect for, and the Dems did this for the most part, too, back in 2009, that I have a lot of respect for, the Republican congressmen who stuck it out.
Yeah.
They stayed. They showed up. They let the people chant it. They did their best to get their point of view across. Why they were voting and thinking the way they were. And they listened.
Yes.
Complete respect. Kudos to those Republican congressmen for doing their job.
Yeah.
The job of the people and listen to your constituents. I don't have to like the way you necessarily vote or your ideology, but I can respect a person doing their job to the best of their ability when times are tough. I can respect that.
And the idea is that they're supposed to serve the people, even the difficult people.
Yes. Unfortunately, there was a lot of stories of town halls that were canceled.
Yes.
Or wanting to do it on telephone calls.
Mm-hmm.
It was too difficult. They didn't want to show up to their job. And somebody said, and I call those people, the congressmen who would not show up to meet with their angry constituents.
Mm-hmm.
I call them snowflakes. Because that is the definition of a snowflake, being too afraid to confront things. There are no safe spaces. Show up. Now, somebody said to me, well, if you know, as a comedian, you wouldn't, you would walk off stage or not show up if somebody shouted you down for 45 minutes. And I think Joe will attest, I think Joe will agree with me on this point at least. As a comedian, it's not always A rooms and standing ovations.
No, not at all.
No. Sometimes you got to show up. You're doing a Christmas party. Nobody knew there was a comic that was going to be there. There's no sound system. You're in the dark. You're trying to talk. People are drinking, not paying attention to you, and they're stuffing their faces with steak. And you know what you do? You do the time.
Yes.
You show up. Yeah, right, Joe? You've been in that situation.
The only thing about it, and I'm on the fence with this because I agree that they should do these, but sometimes it's what's the point if you now I'm working off of sound bites of what's coming through. If people are going to consistently shout you down where you can't get a word out edgewise, sometimes it's not even worth the point.
Well, but if you show up and you find that. Then there's a couple ways to handle it. First, you have to show up. That's the first thing. You have to show up. Once you show up, if people are not letting you speak, then you can announce, listen, if you don't let me speak, I'm going to have to end this. Fine. Valid. Justified.
Absolutely.
I get it. Or you have a police presence. You have them remove the people that are not letting you speak. But you still show up. I don't have a problem with that. If an audience is unruly and they're not letting you speak, yeah, that's fine. But Republican Governor Chris Christie, the governor with perhaps the lowest approval rating in the nation, with 17%, just said, you got to show up. And say what you want. Love or hate Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Chris Christie shows up.
Yeah, he does.
He's had some contentious town halls.
Oh, man.
But he shows up. And sometimes you cringe with what he says. But Chris Christie's in there fighting, and he's listening. So you got to give kudos to Chris Christie.
I'm agreeing with all your points on that.
Yeah.
Yes. You should show up. And like I said, my last statement was, well, if people are going to be unruly, what's the point? You answered my question. Have somebody there. Tell people, look, please, let's do this in a decent manner, or I'm going to leave. And have a presence there that, you know, and not harass people, but just make sure, you know, like the bouncer in the club. You know, I mean, just make sure everything.
We call that person a police officer.
Yeah. but whatever. No, those are very valid points that you gave.
All right, thank you. Now I want to go on to my biggest snowflake, Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert. He doesn't want to do town halls. He's from Texas, doesn't want to do town halls because he's afraid of being shot by violent leftists. Okay, first of all, I thought the stereotype of leftists was that we were like vagina hat wearing tree huggers. I thought we weren't the violent ones.
Yeah, so passive that we can't get out of our own way.
Exactly. I thought we were the ones who needed a safe place. Louie Gohmert needs a safe place. And here's the thing. You're in Texas. You like everybody having guns. I thought a good guy with a gun beats a bad guy with a gun. There's going to be a lot of good guys with guns. You're never safer than at a town hall in Texas. It doesn't get safer than that.
It so doesn't make any sense.
And if he's worried, I get it. Louie Gohmert is worried about the nut who has a gun.
So he should just carry a gun and return fire.
Sure. Sure, we've heard that too. You could do that too. But Louie Gohmert, I get it. He's concerned about a crazy person with a gun. So am I.
So are we.
But here's the thing, Louie. Here's what you voted for. You voted along with the other Republican Congress and the Senate, and sign into law to allow 75,000 people who have mental illness that couldn't get guns before, they can get guns!
Woohoo!
So, apparently, you're concerned about you getting shot with a crazy by a crazy person with a gun, but not me.
Right.
You, Louis Gohmert, are a snowflake, and you stink. All right, more show when we come back. Felt invigorated by that first segment. I'm ready to keep going. Keep rolling. Got a lot of energy today.
I know. You're practically sweating with glee.
Yes. Whenever I watch Glee, I sweat. Perhaps for the wrong reasons.
I think so.
So our president and the press, they're having trust issues. It's not going well.
Yeah.
With each other, and more importantly, with the public. Both have trustworthy numbers in the 40s. In the 40s are where people trust them. Depending on the poll, sometimes the president comes out a little higher. Sometimes the media comes out a little higher.
Yeah.
But more than half the people go, we don't believe a word you say.
I know. That's crazy.
Now, I don't know what they mean by the press. I don't know if that's mainstream media. I don't know if that includes blogs.
It's too over-encompassing.
Right. I don't know what that means. But still, not a great sign.
No.
And remember, 40% of the people get their current events through Facebook. Fantastic. All right. So, anyway, we're in the midst of executive lies, anonymous sources, leaks, and media with an agenda. That's just the climate we're in. The president's warring with the media. The media is trying to do their jobs, but at times get sidetracked with a narrative that they want to tell, which at times leads to the exclusions of facts and details. Mm-hmm. You know, so many times they want to pin the president on something that they leave out important things that a reasonable person would want to know and go, well, wait a minute, maybe it's not as bad as the media say.
It's like you don't want to jump to judgment using something that's only part of the story.
Right, you're getting incomplete stories.
Yeah.
It's gotten so bad last week, Sean Spicer had a gaggle, and he's the press secretary. He's excluded, like, CNN, the New York Times, other news organizations boycotted. The president said he's not going to the correspondents' dinner. Before that, certain media agencies said, we're not going to the correspondents' dinner.
Right.
I mean, it's really just a funky thing that is going on there. So, listen, the press and the president, it's always combative, no matter who the president
is.
I mean, let's be honest. Nobody got it worse than W.
Oh.
After he successfully used the press for that rush up to the war in Iraq, and then when people go, oh, there wasn't any weapons of mass destruction.
They felt resentful.
Yes, and then it was just crush W every day.
Yes.
But he handled it well. He always does. And just the other day, he says, no, we need a free press. It's important for democracy.
Right.
President Bush gets it. I mean, yeah. He wasn't my favorite president.
No.
But he gets it.
Mine, but I was really impressed to see what he had to say.
Right. So I want to give an example of what's going on that happened very recently to show how us, the American people, are not being served by the president or by the media.
Right.
How everybody is trying to screw us six ways to Sunday. We're going to talk about what happened in Sweden.
Yes.
So, a couple of weeks ago, President Trump was holding a campaign style in Florida. I don't know. He likes
Why?
To rally. Listen, we all love an adoring audience. Whatever. Not what I would do. I don't want to get into the weeds on that. That's
yes.
fine. He has his rally. During the rally, Trump said, look at what happened in Sweden last night when he was discussing immigrants and refugees.
Right.
The problem was the thing that happened in Sweden last night was they were having some big music festival and there was tech problems. Mm-hmm. So, it could have been this show. There was no immigrant or there was no thing that happened.
Well, I think
I'll get through it all. Hold on, Joe. Don't jump in. There was nothing that happened the night before. There was nothing that happened that night.
Okay.
Sweden said, well, you know, we're going to educate the president on that. Now, the president was watching, I think he was watching Fox News. It was Fox News. Mm-hmm. It was a report that Tucker Carlson did.
Right.
I believe it was on Tucker Carlson's show.
It was.
Yeah, right. All right. So they were doing a story about the issue with immigrants and refugees.
Yes.
Which is fine. But nothing happened the night before.
Right.
So the president either doesn't understand or he lied. That's the facts. So I was talking about last night when he said it. That's a lie or he doesn't comprehend. Here's what bothers me about that. Here's the good thing about being president of the United States. You get the best intelligence about global events out of anybody in the world. You know stuff that nobody else does because we got great spies and we got great intel agencies. You really don't need to be getting your news from Fox News or CNN or MSNBC unless you just want to see what they're saying about you. You should not be learning about global events that way because you have way more than you should have.
Well, let me interject with the whole thing. Basically, it was based on a story that was with Hannity. It was about a Jewish filmmaker on Sweden. It was the night before, and he complained that they're not integrating, and there's a lot of dissension there, and there's a problem.
I want to get to the problem. I'm going to get to the problem. I'm going to get to that problem. I'm definitely going to get to a problem because there might be a problem there, and our media.
There is a problem there. Now, here's the deal. The Trump administration dropped the ball because what they could have done is backtracked and said he made a reference to the Jewish filmmaker that said that there was a problem due to immigration policy, that these people are not integrating properly, and there's a lot of dissension, which correlates to why we're trying to get the immigration policies here worked out. They could have backtracked.
They could have.
They dropped the ball totally on that.
They doubled down, as they always do. Okay, so I was talking to a friend of mine in Sweden.
Okay.
I was talking to a friend of mine in Sweden, and she confirmed nothing happened that day. But she did confirm that it has changed in the past several years. At least this is her take on it. She's a woman older than me, that she is now scared. That there are gangs and issues since the immigration. This is her story. That she is afraid of going out at night, and it wasn't this way before. So again, like Joe's saying, it's not that there's not an issue there, at least according to her, at least what some people are thinking, and that reporting.
Yes.
It's the fact that Trump lied or didn't understand and said that something happened that didn't. Okay, so that's that. So there might be an issue there. Now let's move on to the media. So right there we have the executive who's getting his information from cable news, which shouldn't be, and either lied or can't follow a story. So that's just the reality.
Yeah.
Joe had a good way of cleaning it up, but they don't do that. But I agree with Joe.
And that's where my objection is. With the way they could have cleaned it up beautifully and correlated it to why we're trying to vet people that are coming in.
Sure.
They dropped the ball.
Okay. So the left-leaning Huffington Post took down a journalist post that said Trump was absolutely right about the immigrants of Sweden. Now, this person didn't work for the Huffington Post,
right,
but they allow contributors. Reno Zagrovis wrote, "It's well known for Scandinavians and other Europeans that liberal immigration comes with drugs, rapes, gang wars, robbery, and violence. The fact is that the press here in Europe hasn't been doing their job properly," he wrote, adding that there is a general fear that the journalists don't report the basic truth, which is that Europe has enormous problems that comes from liberal immigration politics.
Mm-hmm.
This was self-published on the contributor platform. A Huffington Post spokesman said, told the Daily Caller, the editors removed it after determining it violated terms of use. We don't know what those terms of use are.
Right.
Basically, there's somebody saying an anti-leftist thing. Go, no, this is what's going on. And the left-leaning Huffington Post says, no.
Oh, no, that doesn't fit our platform.
That does not fit our narrative, so we're not going to give that to our readers. So there you got the Huffington Post on the left cooking the books over there. So then we go to Fox News. The O'Reilly factor that aired, had Bill O'Reilly was speaking with two Swedish nationals about allegations that Sweden had become a more dangerous place in recent years because of immigration. Now, statistics show that immigrants are responsible for 1% of the crimes.
Okay.
That's the thing. One guest, Swedish journalist Ann-Sophie Naslin of the Expressen newspaper, pushed back against O'Reilly's comments, suggesting that her country was safer than it was being presented.
Okay.
I don't know how it was being presented. It might be safer than it was being presented, but according to the story on Tucker Carlson and my friend and this journalist, there's certainly a feeling, if nothing else, that something's not right.
Yeah.
The next guest disagreed. Nils Bildt, billed as, quote, Swedish defense and national security advisor by Fox News, told O'Reilly that Naslin was rather incorrect and there have been big problems with integrating immigrants into Swedish society. These things are not being openly and honestly discussed, Bildt said. A Swedish newspaper reported Friday that neither the Swedish armed forces nor the foreign ministry had heard of Bildt.
Right. Some expert.
Right.
But if I can interject one thing about what Bildt said, but he did say has been the narrative, though.
But that's not the point. My point is they are putting this person up there and giving him a title that nobody in Sweden has ever heard of and has good things to say and say he's not in this position. So they're cooking the books. They're making this guy's narrative more important than it should be.
Right.
And it has been the consistent narrative from every, you know, at least in this discussion, every point I made, your friend, you know, it has been the narrative.
I understand. There might be something going on, but to give somebody a false title, it discredits you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was put out there to go, well, this guy's an expert. He's a security advisor. So then you got the right cook in the books. So you got the left cook in the books, you got the right cook in the books, and then you got the executive who either can't follow a damn story or is lying to us. Pick whichever version you want. Either way, something bad happened. So now you're a citizen. What are you supposed to do? I just want the truth.
Like, who are you supposed to believe?
So this is why I say, like I always say, you got to get all your sources. You got to go to your Associated Press and your Reuters. Why do I say Associated Press and Reuters? Because they're the ones that are more newsy.
Right.
They're more fact-based.
Right.
So I find them to be better sources than your cable news channels or your Huffington Post or Daily Coast or Breitbart's or... They have less of an agenda.
Well, you want to see newspapers, you want to see API, them.
Here's the problem. Right now, we are in a situation that we are overwhelmed as a public.
Yes.
We can't, like, you look at the leaks. As an American, you don't want to think that your president's bought and paid for by Russia. You don't.
No.
You don't want to think that. Whether you're left or right, you don't want to think that. But these leaks are coming out every day, and they're anonymous sources. Anonymous sources are important. We didn't know about who Deep Throat was for 35 years after Watergate.
Right.
Anonymous, but this is a different time. America does not have the attention span. So now you have these daily leaks coming out all the time, and it's just getting tuned out because we're used to it. Kind of like with Hillary's emails.
Right.
After a while, it had no effect.
Right.
So what they need to do is they got to stop putting it all in the press, although they are having an impact. Michael Flynn resigned because of this. You need to get somebody on the record. Somebody has to go on. If you have something on President Trump, come out there with it. If not, the press has to pull back and stop haranguing him.
Because people are going to stop paying attention.
Right.
They get scandal fatigue.
Right. If he's bought and paid for by the Russians, get him out of there. If he had nothing to do with the Russians, let him be. Doesn't mean you don't do your job, but stop harassing him with this stuff.
Right.
We got to get an answer for the country. All right. More show when we come back. Let's lighten the mood with some racism, shall we?
Oh, yes, please.
I always find racism cleanses the palate.
It's like a nice little sherbet.
But this isn't your average racism story. I want to try to find the interview. It's not an interview, but a report.
Yeah, it's
here we go.
Thought-provoking.
It is thought-provoking. Here we go. Bear with me.
Heather Lindsay and her husband, they say someone spray-painted a racial slur on their Stanford home last month. They left the graffiti up so the community does not forget what happened, but police issued them a citation and a $100 a day fine until the graffiti is removed. The couple says they will fight the fines in court.
All right, so you have an interracial marriage.
Right.
Middle-aged people will say.
Mm-hmm.
Graffiti artists write the N-word on the garage.
Yeah, big.
Well, you don't want to be understated with such a word.
No, you don't.
No. So most people would take it right down.
Yeah.
These people are like, no, we're going to leave this up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with them leaving it up.
Okay. Why?
It's their garage. They were attacked, not in a physical way,
mm-hmm.
but you certainly feel less safe when you're attacked based on race. It's an invasion of your privacy and your feeling of safety
mm-hmm.
in your neighborhood. And they want everybody to know this is what happened to us. This,
it wasn't the first time.
No. You cannot wipe this. We're not going to whitewash this, for lack of a better term, what you would do with a garage door.
Oh dear.
So everybody can go on with their lives and forget this happened. I don't have an issue with that.
Well, now, there is a town ordinance saying that you're not allowed to leave graffiti up because it gives a general feeling of being afraid and, like, not your neighborhood not being a nice place.
But if you're that person, are you less afraid because... your house now has a nice garage door?
Oh, it's not about those people.
I understand that. But you know what?
Sometimes, it's about your neighbors.
Oh, well, sometimes the truth is uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know what? Their point was, we want a more thorough investigation done by the police.
Right.
The police are saying, we've done everything we can. We're trying to find these people. We can't.
Right.
But they want answers. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I would. Joe, what do you want? Justice?
Yeah, I would. But the police said they are investigating every which way they can. I say that it should be painted over. I know it's a freedom of speech thing, but, you know, I mean, they are actively trying to find these people. Who knows when they're going to, you know, when they're going to find them. I mean, it's a horrible thing, obviously. And like I said, I've been thinking about this the past several days because, I think they should paint over it. Because who knows how long it's going to take the police to find these people. And now this is going to be up, and it's going to be an eyesore. We know what happens. We know it's horrible.
But we don't know. We don't know what happens if it's painted over. If you didn't know, if you paint it over the next day like they want, then the chances are people in the neighborhood don't necessarily know what happens. They want people driving by. They want everybody to know that we are dealing with racism. We are not going to shy away from this. We are not going to run. We are not going to make it more comfortable for you because we were attacked, and we're your neighbor, and this is what's going on.
Let me ask you a question. On the subway train, there was that thing on Facebook where somebody wrote SWAT stickers on that sign in the subway train. Now, people were kind enough to wipe those SWAT stickers off. Do you feel they should have left them there until they found somebody?
It's a little different. Yeah. I don't really have an answer on how I feel about that because they got a lot of great publicity and they did the right. You could say they did the right thing.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the subway is not private property.
Right.
So we're talking about public property here.
Right. Now, correlating back to this, they did get a decent amount of publicity on this to show the indignity of what happened on that.
Well, I mean, these people have been attacked before. I think they've just had enough,
Joe. It's a very personal attack for them. It's not a general public transportation.
I don't like this idea that we fine the victim of the crime $100 a day.
That's a little absurd.
I mean, I understand, well, if you don't find him, then what's the incentive to do something? I guess.
Yes.
But we're talking about the victims of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have the footage that they wrote the N-word on their own garage, we're talking about people that were attacked.
Right, right. I mean, I am actually on the side of the people leaving it up.
So you agree with me?
I do agree that they, you know, why am I going to whitewash this? Because actually, that's perfect, because you're literally covering it over with white paint, but whitewashing it, covering up the fact that this happened to you, I don't need to make you feel comfortable.
I think it's actually very brave. I don't know if I would have the cojones to leave it up, to be honest with you.
I would
probably want to block it out. You know, I got a small kid.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want her to see that.
I don't want my neighbors annoyed with me every day. Like, right. When are you going to take down that?
That's the thing. And like I said, I'm saying it with compassion myself because you know there are mixed feelings on this.
Yeah.
But I feel like after a while you do need to take it down. The police are working on it. They even said they would pay for it. And I'm not discrediting the indignity of it. But you know, it gets to a point where it does need to come down, and you need to move on. And it's a very hurtful thing, you know. But it is an eyesore, and you know, and it has gotten the publicity. And the police said they are actively trying to find this person. And I'm sure that the cops are running squad cars by that place night and day, making sure it doesn't happen again. But there gets to a point where, yeah, you might want to take this down because it is an eyesore.
All right, we'll leave it there. More when we come back. On the night of Nothing Comes Easy, because we were tackling hard topics tonight.
Yeah.
We got a different type of school of fools. I'm excited to do this story as well. I'll be more excited when I find the jingle. I'm used to that delay. There it is. Okay.
Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fool.
Fernando Bryan, a cornerback who played 10 NFL seasons, was fired from a job as head coach of a Georgia high school football team less than 3 weeks after signing his contract due to a 3-year-old photo on his wife's Instagram account. Bryan's termination letter specifically mentioned social media as the reason he was let go, but he said he was never told which specific post or posts led to the school's decision. Quote, this letter will confirm that strong Strong Rock Christian School. That sounds like a kick-ass name.
Strong Rock.
I wonder if Striper graduated. Strong Rock Christian School has made a decision not to move forward with your employment in the position of head coach of the football team and physical education teacher. As we discussed after we made the offer to you, some within our parent community raised concerns regarding your family's public presence on social media.
Oh, please.
And that's not in there. And the internet, and questioned whether the postings and information were consistent with our Christian values. We're sorry that our relationship had to end before it started. We wish you the best. The offending picture was a 3-year-old photo of Amber Bryant's Instagram account, that's his wife, of the couple at a party with Fernando holding a bottle of liquor. The football team source said the program officials knew of the photo before hiring Fernando Bryant, but apparently raised concerns, of course. Bryant said the photo with the bottle was taken at an event for the event sponsor. The school requires employees to be born-again Christians, but according to Bryant, during the 2-month interview process, he was never told that employees cannot drink, nor was there a mention of social media guidelines. He had turned down several other jobs to accept this job. All right, where are we as a society where you can now get fired for holding a closed bottle of alcohol from 3 years ago? Where are we?
Well, here's the deal. Basically, and here's the problem. The school requires employees to be born-again Christians. Now, here's the deal. When you hire, if that is a part of the job, you need to be squeaky clean. Here's the thing, though. He never was told, and this was before he was hired, and the school hired him based on that.
So, but wait a minute. Aren't born-again Christians, isn't the whole reason they were born again because they used to party and do some pretty heinous crap? Isn't that the whole part about being born again?
I've met some. They still do. But it's
Joe.
But you see, that's the thing. It's like sometimes you go into court, and you know the law, where they go, well, this was a stipulation of this job. Yeah, but you never warned of it. They saw this picture. They should, you know, he should be able to keep his job.
He got fired because a Yenta complained. That's
yeah,
what.
Essentially, how many times has that been a problem at a gig?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're hiring a 10-year NFL veteran. Don't you kind of assume he did some shady stuff? I mean, doesn't that go away? He's a first-round draft pick. I mean, this woman has probably had more women than you've crossed yourself. I mean.
Also, that hire is Snoop Dogg in the music department. Boy, he's got to come upstairs tomorrow.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
Yes.
he's got some splaining to do.
Now, I don't know, but can born-again Christians drink?
No. They're not supposed to.
Yeah, but they do.
Yeah.
They just don't get caught on Instagram. But he wasn't even drinking.
He was just holding it up because that liquor sponsored the event.
I don't think it's very Christian to cost a man a job for something he did years ago that has nothing to do with the job he was hired for. You've interviewed him for 2 months.
But this is the problem where we're going. It goes past an ex-NFL football player. It's going to go to a plumber, somebody that wants to get a job in customer. So everything is out there on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that. And where if you're at a party holding a drink, a potential employer might say, you know, you're not representing the company the way we want. It's none of your business what I do after hours. And it's getting to the point where if people like this are allowed to jeopardize people's jobs, it's going to be a problem to not celebrities, but to everybody.
All right, more show. Don't go anywhere. It just doesn't stop. These security breaches. And there's another one, a big one. It's called, the bug is called Cloud Bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Must be the Megyn Kelly of viruses.
Oh, God. You did it!
It's cloud bleeding from everywhere.
Oh, no.
So it may have compromised the security of user data at sites using the Cloudflare security service. Cloudflare, ironically enough, is used to keep websites safe. Guess not.
Not really.
At risk are logins and passwords for millions of websites. The vulnerability affected the web security and services company Cloudflare, which has been leaking customer HTTPS sessions for popular websites and services like Uber,
yeah,
Fitbit, Okay, Cupid.
Oh, man.
For the past months. I mean, those are just some of the big ones that they named. These are mainstream sites.
Very. Theirs aren't little teeny things.
These are things that people go on all the time.
Right.
The data that was leaked also includes sensitive personal data. Ormandi, who works for Google, he's the one who discovered this, said that the breach, that they're also finding sensitive data, private messages from major dating sites, full messages from a well-known chat service, online password manager data. You know how they say, well, you know, go into the online passwords
yep.
to secure it?
Yep.
Frames and adult video sites, oh. hotel bookings. They're talking about HTTPS requests from client IP addresses, full responses, cookies, password, keys, data, everything. This seems like the biggest one to date, because this is the most encompassing one that's hit the most websites. Like, we had the Ashley Madison one,
right.
and we had the Sony one.
And occasionally you see that there are there are breaks in individual companies, databases.
Like, what was it? Target had one.
Yes.
This seems, but this is the security company. This is one that a lot of these sites use. This seems massive. It's not really getting reported a lot.
No, but HTTP. PS, the S stands for security. This is when you see the little lock on the screen. It's supposed to
be a
secure site.
Now it stands for SOL.
Yeah.
Especially now that cloud-based storage has become the norm. And, you know, usually you get...
Well, this isn't a cloud-based storage company. That's just the name of this company. It's not about stuff in the cloud.
Yeah.
This is a security site.
But even stuff that gets saved to the cloud, sometimes you worry that when is that going to get infiltrated?
Oh, it will. I don't put stuff.
Yeah, and you know it will. And that's mm-hmm. kind, you know, and it's just because cloud-based storage is becoming, you know, the norm. It's the way to go.
Anyway, Cloudflare was notified on February 17th and immediately deactivated the features that caused the link. So they were pretty proactive. The company said that it has not yet discovered any evidence of malicious exploits designed to take advantage of the bug. So basically what they're saying, they don't think this stuff has been leaking out there, but they don't think it was like, say, North Korea or some 400-pound guy sitting on his on his bed like the president likes to tell us is doing the hacking.
That poor guy. Leave him alone.
He just got extra Girl Scout cookies. Leave him be. So once again, it looks like it's time to change your passwords.
Oh, probably. We should be doing it every day. Like we change our underwear. We should be changing our passwords.
You change your underwear every day?
Yeah.
Oh. No. Well, I guess
that explains that smell.
Hmm. Listen, I think the danger is this information gets into the wrong hands and you're looking at blackmail.
Oh yeah.
I mean.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. And it's going to be more prevalent because the cloud storage, like I said, is becoming the norm.
I think it's becoming safer to actually sleep with a hooker and get that type of virus than go on an online site and get nailed with that type of virus.
That's true.
I see what you did there.
You see what I did there?
Yeah. Well, I think that what's also kind of creepy about this is one of the things that jumped out at me is that hotel booking information.
Sure, that's your credit cards.
Yeah, your credit card information, where you're staying, who you are staying in a particular room.
If you have your credit card information, they know you're at a hotel. They also have your mailing address and know when you're not home.
True. And they, you know, but they know who's staying in that room. You know, they can do a little profile. A woman traveling alone, now they know where you're staying.
Right.
That's just great.
I think it's, listen, we are too trusting of these sites.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, I think we got to be less trusting.
Oh, yeah. I think that people post everything up to security sites, and it's a little crazy, you know, that people have that much, you know, I mean, we do our banking online, and that strikes me as very vulnerable, but the convenience, I'm already
It's always a convenience versus risk.
Right.
So I like to be inconvenient and inconvenienced.
And you like to be inconvenienced?
I don't do a lot of stuff, but more and more you have to, like, you book airlines online. And
yeah.
So your credit card information's out there. They trust this company, Cloudflare, and unfortunately let them down.
Yeah, I'm wondering, it's strange the way that they posted this, that like 0.03% of the information is leaking. It sounds like, you know, some kind of like diaper issue.
They need a special pad.
They do. But it's also so little bits and fragments are getting out into the, I guess,
I don't think we've heard the end of this. I think this is going to I think we're going to hear more about this. I have not heard a lot of this on the news. I saw this on the tech sites. So I bring it to you people, because I am your news. Joe, give the folks the news of where you're going to be.
I'm going to be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club on March 8th through March 11th. Go to 1-877-UNCLE, UNCLE-VIN, for all information.
There you go. Monday, March 6th, I'll be in Pine Top, Arizona at the Honda Casino. For tickets, call 928-369-7576. Friday, March 10th, Sidesplitting Productions presents a live comedy in Wanacue, New Jersey at Il Palazzo. For tickets, call 973-650-1398.
And I have absolutely no life, so I have nothing to promote.
As well, as always, you can follow us on Twitter, at Davin's Den. You can like us on Facebook, Davin's Den. You can listen to all the show unedited because we talk for longer than what you're hearing. Go to davinsden.com. It's all there, all the old shows. We've been geniuses for quite some time.
Yes, we have, and we've just undiscovered geniuses by all but you people.
You people are the good people.
Yeah, you're the ones that are acceptable. And when the Lord comes down and there is Judgment Day, you will be brought up.
I did not know you were a religious person.
I'm not.
I will not be brought up because I will be posing with a bottle of booze.
Yeah, that was a foot race.
Well, I have the advantage of being present, Joe.
I know.
Yeah, we apparently are going to lose our jobs. But it will be, Judgment Day, so it won't matter.
As always, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? He would follow us on Twitter. I'm just saying. He would like our Facebook page.
I think he would.
Yeah.
I think he'd be laughing his robes off right now.
Yes, Jesus would most certainly do that. All right. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please, please, please keep on listening.